Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey everybody, welcome to More Than That. This is a podcast where we take the preacher or the speaker from this past Sunday, pull them aside, and we ask them if they had 10 extra minutes, what would they have said? And I am sitting here with...
Larry Stout.
And my name is Tyler Henry. So, Larry, if you had 10 extra minutes, which you probably could have had more than that, where would you have taken the church?
Well, that's a good question, and obviously we had a lot of things going on Sunday with baptism our meal afterwards. So mm-hmm. I really did want to have a truncated message, but a more concise
yes.
Message. But on God's will, we are going through Exodus, and we hit. We've gone through the tabernacle and what the tabernacle looked like, et cetera, and now we're into the high priest and his attire and a whole chapter on clothing, and this mm-hmm. gets a little bit deep. But what I found interesting in this section that we were looking at was that it was really bookended with the emphasis on the fact that the clothing was referencing making decisions. And so mm-hmm. I thought, let's just focus on the wisdom part that the high priest carried these two stones known as Urim and Thummim, which mean light and perfection. And everything of the high priest's clothing has a representation to something else. Mm-hmm. Well, light and perfection could only be in reference to God himself, mm-hmm. which would then be... showing us that if we really want to make decisions, we need the wisdom of God. And so I really wanted to emphasize this, how we can walk in wisdom. And wisdom is not just knowledge. Knowledge is knowing. Wisdom is I'd say, maybe doing. What should I be doing?
Yeah.
And so as followers, we're following Jesus. And so how do we know what to do? Well, Scripture gives us this outline, and through prayer, these are known as spiritual disciplines, things that we should practice, and I was emphasizing that. But here's where it gets a little dicey, or not dicey maybe, but okay, here I am, I'm a believer, and I want to walk the right way, so I'm reading Scripture, I'm praying. How do I know that I'm on the right path? How do I mm-hmm. know that I'm doing the right thing? Well, I think, first of all, one means by which you will know is the promise that we have that in Christ is also that peace that passes understanding. So here it is that I might have, maybe to back up a little bit, the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge, again, is with your head, and you need knowledge, but wisdom is more, if I dare say it, with the heart. And I think this is again, I think I quoted the Proverbs passage that guard your heart mm-hmm. with, because this is from which flow the substance of life itself. Mm-hmm. So as I am seeking God's wisdom, I want to guard my heart. I want to make sure that I'm not, and just in the side real quick, I know I'm rambling a little bit on this, but sometimes people ask me, Larry, I'm not sure if I should go this way or that way. I said, well, can you be okay with either one? Mm-hmm. Because if you're thinking, well, I want to go this way and I don't want to go that way, well, suddenly you find yourself, sort of inching towards the one you want. You mm-hmm. really have to have in your heart being willing to do the hard thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe something that's very difficult, you just have to surrender that. And because more times than not, that is maybe the direction that we're being directed to. Mm-hmm. So, I guard my heart, and the way I can really know this is the peace of God. And if I can give just one quick example, my wife, while we were missionaries in Latvia, one of the things that she was doing was going to orphanages, and we were bringing a lot of supplies and things for various orphanages and throughout the country. Well, she latched into one 9-year-old Russian girl who had no parents and had a terrible, terrible, terrible upbringing, a lot of horrible things in her life. And I said to Debbie, I said, honey, don't get so, you know, she started bringing her home for weekends. And I said, honey, don't get attached to this kid. You know, this is not a good thing. And she said, no, I'm not, Larry. And I thought, no, I know you too well. And so I really sensed that she wanted to adopt this little girl, Olya. And in my head, I did not want to, because I thought we're too old for this. The kid doesn't speak English. I mean, come on, who are we kidding? And I just mentally didn't want to do it. But as I prayed, as I sought the Lord, I was really convicted. I did not have peace with my own attitude. And I thought, I have to be able to be willing, if the Lord would say that I should adopt this child. And ultimately, I realized that that was what I was supposed to do. Now, it was not in any way, shape, or form the thing I wanted to do. Yeah. But it turned out, and I've told her this many times since then, I have 4 children, one's adopted, but I can't remember which one. I mean, she is so integrated into our family that literally, I mean, and now grown and lives on her own, et cetera. But my point is that should be in wisdom. But now, even just as I'm using this illustration of marriage, what should also come now for us to be able to really walk in wisdom is to be part of a community, which is the church. Mm-hmm. So here I am. I want to walk with the Lord. I want to walk in wisdom. I want to follow Him. I want my heart to be right. I should be attending a church where I'm hearing the gospel, where I'm reaffirming those things, and I'm in a small group of a home group, men's or women's group, whatever, where I am interacting and I'm able to grow together with these people and even share, I'm struggling with this particular issue. They would pray with me, maybe give counsel because they're wiser from years' experience, etc. And so I think that whole thing happens then, that by kind of going back to our passage in Exodus 28, that it was the high priest who was in the community of the church, carrying that Urim and Thummim, which was for decision making, in a symbolizing to me that Christ is the one who is our light, you know, our perfection, the one that we are following, the one we are looking to, but we're doing that within a community of believers.
Yeah.
Is that more than that?
I guess so. I guess.
I guess that's my main. That's my main
and it's really interesting too, because like, you know, as somebody who has like struggled with like, you know, what is God's will, it's like when I was in undergrad, you know, I was a teacher education major. I was, you know, looking to get into teaching really, really little kids.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I was a pre-K, so
wow,
preschool all the way up until fourth grade major.
You were brave.
And one of the only men in the major.
Yeah, I was going to say, whoa.
There were two men in my in my technically would have been graduating class in that major. But there were some things, and it's like, okay, what's the harder or easier thing to do? And it ended up being what, you know, what God was calling me to was the more difficult thing to do, which was to not graduate, because it would have been so much easier to continue on and press on through and graduate with my teaching degree, get a job in a school, and then do ministry on the side. But it's much more difficult
and which kind of, you know, I kind of pushed it to the side a little bit at one point in life to pursue teaching, but God was calling me into full-time vocational ministry. Wow. And it's like, yeah, God doesn't necessarily want you to take the easy route. Some people want you to think that life is supposed to be easy, that because nowhere in the Gospels does Jesus ever affirm that.
No, that's for sure.
And if you even just read one paragraph of the Old Testament, you'll realize that it just was not an easy life for the Israelites.
No, that's good.
So I wanted to get your thoughts on the idea of wisdom, because you mentioned how knowledge has to do with the head, and that wisdom has to do with more to do with the heart. But tell me what your thoughts are on wisdom being right use of right knowledge.
Well, that's a good definition, really. In fact, I don't think I can improve on that. I think it's extremely, because knowledge can be used in the wrong way. You can, in fact, tell the truth in a wrong context, or not. Maybe that's not the way I'm putting it, but
it's not the right time.
I remind my wife of that sometimes, because she wants to get something across, and I said, honey, we need to let things calm down a bit. It would inflame the fire right now. And it's fine. It's funny. You can be right, and yet it's not the right time over things. We went through some very difficult struggles here in City Church some years ago, and it took a lot of wisdom to navigate through that, because I knew that the things that were happening were not, we shouldn't be going in that direction, and trying to slowly pull the ship put the rudder in a different way. People are not too happy with that, and so because it also is in ministry, you also want to be sensitive to people where they are. I don't know how to put it in simplest way, but for me, I want to know. I think the wise makes truth acceptable. I mean, we find the ways to present the truth in ways that it can be received.
Yeah.
And maybe that is where, you know, kind of sum up the idea of knowledge to wisdom is the right use of the things that we know are right. And I mean, I know that gospel's true, but if I go out on a street corner and just start shouting, I don't know if I'm going to get a great response. But if I go out and I'm willing to do some shovel my neighbor's sidewalk during a heavy snow because he can't get out to do it, I will probably be preaching a lot more, like, why would you do this? Well, you know, because as a believer, as a Christian, I want to try and serve others, and you know, that it would make a difference. And so that, I think, is wisdom.
Well, and with being a graduate of Talbot, one of their big things is be winsome in your presentation of truth. Taking from 1 Peter 3:15, you know, being an apologetics grad, you know, like the capstone verse. But like, you're doing it with gentleness and respect. And I think if you're able to do that, to present truth gently, and being cognizant of where that person, where that person is in their life. You know, we were talking before this how culture is just so crazy right now. And that, but that doesn't mean we can't still utilize that person's place in culture to get truth across in a wise way. So that they can really come into what God has for them in their life, mm. and Amen. Coming to know what God's will actually is, no matter how difficult that may be. Mm. But yeah,
and it takes time to learn that too. I mean, this is this is not a easy subject, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And this is why wisdom usually, theoretically, does come with age, mm-hmm. if you're doing it right, theoretically.
Yeah, well, and I think there's a really good distinction there, too. Like, yeah, there is wisdom, generally speaking, of that comes with physical age.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that spiritual wisdom comes with physical age, too.
Right.
You know, I learn a lot from my 19, almost 20-year-old, yeah, almost 20-year-old sister, mm. Because she's been walking with God for pretty much her entire life.
Wow.
So, like, you know, she might not be spouting, like, big theological terms and stuff like that, but just how she interacts with kids and how she interacts with people, you get to see that, and that might just be wisdom being lived out.
Yeah, amen. I like that.
But 20 years of life, quite literally, could also amount to 20 years of walking with God.
Yeah.
And I think that that's important to understand, especially for listeners who don't know you. They don't know me.
Right,
But, you know, there's a lot of wisdom in
Amen.
Understanding where people are in their spiritual walk and in their general life walk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But is there anything else that you wanted to add before we close out?
Well, this is a real far out one. I'm sorry even to bring it up, but it just popped into my head.
Rabbit trail.
That, you know, I've spent a lot of time studying just how we learn, how we study, mm-hmm. And one of the things is that our minds will shut off if we think we can't learn something.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a little switch in the back of your head, and in a sense, it's like we fear we can't learn. Hence, so I don't want to indulge in the energy. Well, it's interesting that the fear of the Lord should be the only thing we fear. So in a sense, if I truly, quote-unquote, fear the Lord, that means I can learn anything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is open.
Mm-hmm.
So I can have wisdom, kind of like Solomon, and so to speak. I can know virtually anything I need to know if, indeed, mm-hmm. I'm truly fearing God and Him alone, not mm-hmm. fearing, oh, I don't think I'm going to be a... You know, if the Lord calls me to do a particular task or get involved in something, I think, well, that's beyond me. No, God will give me the wisdom to do that.
Mm-hmm.
God will show me the way.
Yeah.
And I find that that's sort of been pattern of my life where I think I've been way in over my head, but this is the path that the Lord is taking me, and I learn on the go.
Mm-hmm.
So I think to just encourage people that is we often kind of maybe especially in America we. Academics is where we think
mm-hmm.
that's where wisdom comes from. No, that's where knowledge comes from, and we don't want to acknowledge, we don't mm-hmm. want to disparage that. But however, I just really think that we should not fear anything,
mm-hmm.
that whatever God is opening doors, just be willing to walk through that, and he'll give you the
mm-hmm.
the strength, the energy, the mindset or the focus to
mm-hmm.
find the way through it.
Yeah, and I think to say that or to push against academia would be kind of wholly apart from us. We have spent, you know, you got your PhD,
right.
and I did my master's. Like,
right.
you know, we don't have any room to talk there.
No.
But, you know, it's what you do with that knowledge.
Right. Right. Right, exactly.
So, yeah, I think that's a good way to end it. Just, you know,
good.
It's what you do with the knowledge that you have that makes you wise or not.
Well, I respect you because you're the expert in more than that. So if you think this is enough, then I'm happy and I will receive that.
Hey, I mean, this is it's just meant to be a conversation. And,
Amen.
You know, capturing some of the conversations that, whether it's, you know, church leadership or even just like the general, like lay people or some of the college students, I think is really worth it just because you can get to know where they're at. And sometimes they're really enriching. And, you know, like I said, wisdom comes from multiple different places. Yep.
Amen. Amen.
But, or multiple different age groups. But I do want to remind you, those of you that are listening, that this is not a replacement for the sermon. It's not a replacement for being involved in a local church. If you are in Williamsport, we would love to meet you. If you don't have a church home and you do end up finding this, even if you do have a church home, let us know, and we'd love to know who's all listening and to interact with you, and to, if you have any prayer concerns or anything like that, we'd love to pray for you. So, Larry, thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you. This is More Than That, guys. Have a blessed week.
Thank you, John.